Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
How many of you are familiar with Bernie Glassman? How many of you have met him? Okay. Have you ever heard him talk or spent any time with him? So mostly through my mention, I guess. I haven't seen Bernie in years, and I listened to a podcast, a four-part podcast at the Sweetwater Zen Center, where he gave the Bernie version of a Dharma talk. And it was actually very sweet. I realized how much I miss him, even though, Roshi Kennedy transmitted the Dharma to me. I've always had an affection for Bernie and his insight and the way that he teaches. So it was sweet to listen to this four-part podcast. He gives Dharma talks, I guess, now. I don't remember it being this way when I was at over in New York with him. But he starts out by asking, he opens the floor to people and asks them if anybody has a question. And eventually it warms up and people start asking questions. And the first thing he says, he's old. He's an old man now. So he used to have the kind of mind where he would remember every question that everybody asked. But now he writes down the questions, which is what he did. And he related this to an example that I use all the time, which I got from him, to learning what are the ingredients at hand in this moment that he's giving this talk that the talk should address or should come from, arise out of. And so that the way that he gets these ingredients is to have people ask questions. And based on the questions, he creates a Dharma talk in which he tries to address those questions and even link them together, which I thought was an interesting way to do it. He stresses when he talks, he gave his own version again of making the best soup out of the ingredients that we have, that we need to do things with the ingredients that we have, not just be passive. So he mentioned a couple of things in his talk which I thought were important, and I just wanted to pass on to everybody. So this is not a talk that's really original to me, except for maybe a few, is it diacritical, is that the word, comments. So he talks about, if you look at the history of Zen, there's very, very wide variation, but there's two particular things that come up over and over again in relation to practice, and that is wisdom and compassion. And as you know, I've talked about this many times over the years, and he has a different take on it, or somewhat an interesting take on it. Now, wisdom, of course, is the insight that arises out of sitting. And it's seeing into, not just seeing in an intellectual way. Everybody knows in some sense, or they have some idea in their head what it means when I say everything is one. But the sitting brings that idea to life in the form of a particular experience or experiences. And Bernie points out that because Zen throughout the ages has been male-dominated, there has been emphasis placed on wisdom, on the sitting practice. And he comments that had there been more women teachers throughout the history of Zen, the practice would be better balanced because there would be also emphasis on compassion, on taking care, on reaching out. And I was touched by that and also surprised that I hadn't noticed it myself. In talks, of course, I've talked about there's a relationship and it's inseparable between wisdom and compassion. But the usual way that we understand it is that you need to have wisdom, and then the way to express that wisdom is through compassion. As though you have to wait to become enlightened before you can be compassionate, which is crazy. But in some sense, that's what, the koan that I've talked about, which is when you get to the top of the 100-foot pole, keep climbing. That means that, okay, you've seen, but now you have to take what you've seen, this interrelationship, this interpenetration of all things, and go out and live your life that way. So Bernie emphasizes compassion. He talks about creating techniques, creating processes, taking the ingredients in our life and going out and doing something in the world as a way to gain insight. So we will start out by expressing compassion. And those of you that are familiar with him know that he has this whole system of doing this. And one of the ways that he does this is he sponsors street retreats. And they don't require insight. You don't have to be enlightened to go on a street retreat. You just have to be willing to go on a street retreat and see what happens. And the gist of it is you become homeless. I've done one of these many years ago with him. And as I've mentioned before, at the time I was involved in running a number of different social programs for homeless people. And so the way that this device that he creates works is, you know, it's one thing to run a program for homeless people and never having been homeless yourself and not even really having a lot of contact with homeless people, the people for whom these programs are created, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to do the retreat. So we live on the streets for 3 to 5 days. I don't remember how, I think it was 4 days. And you stay in a shelter and you eat in the soup kitchen and you interact and live with homeless people. You become homeless. It creates a much more intimate relationship with what it is to be homeless, to at least do this voluntarily and knowing that you can go home again. But there's a much more intimate relationship with homelessness and people who are homeless. He gives an example. Nancy, is it Ellen Burstyn or Burstyn, the actress? Burstyn. Who, I don't know, within the last couple of years did one of these retreats with him. They're not individual retreats, it's with a group of people. But she was one of the group of people. And one of the devices that he's created is he asks people to go out and ask for money, to go to beg. And so Ellen was, this was in the Bowery, I think, in New York. And somewhere down there was a restaurant with tables on the sidewalk. And there were 3 women sitting at the table. And she went up and asked for a dollar. Could somebody spare a dollar? And one of the 3 women opened their pocketbook and handed her a dollar. And as she was recounting this, she was walking across the street, and initially she was filled with this incredible amount of joy at having somebody give her a dollar. And then the next thing she knew, she was crying. And the reason that she was crying was because when the person gave her the dollar, they went like this. You know, there was an aversion to the human being in front of them. They gave the dollar, but they gave no connection at all. No human connection was attached to the giving of that dollar. And he talks about, you know, poor people begging, but what they really want is connection. And that is wisdom, right? Wisdom is about the fundamental connection that we have. And so doing these street retreats and begging is a way of learning about the oneness of things from the compassion side, from the doing side, from taking the ingredients and going out and doing something, as opposed to living in a monastery and sitting for 25 years to get enlightened. This also was interesting to me when I heard this because, if you recall, I gave a talk about this a while ago, but I was in Montclair and I had to get a birthday present, I think it was, and I was walking down Church Street and there was a guy who had a sign out. He was a Vietnam vet and he needed money because he had no place to stay that night. And I remember walking by him, noticing him, and I kept walking because I was on assignment, you know. In my head, I had to get a birthday gift. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that I had done to this guy what this lady had done to Ellen Burstyn, which was I just walked by, didn't make any eye contact. And if you remember, I went back and I sat down and talked to him, which was a lesson that I learned from doing a street retreat. So it was interesting to hear Bernie's thinking on this and how he creates these processes to teach compassion and to teach wisdom from the experience of compassion, from the practice of compassion. And as I said, in the end, really, they're not opposed. To live a balanced life, wisdom and compassion go together nicely. And then another thing came up. There was a question from somebody who said to do with suffering. But, you know, Roshi, if we sit diligently and we sit long enough and we have deep insights, will we get to a point where we will be free from anger, free from malice, free from anxiety, free from grief? And when he was saying this, he had this, it's hard to describe, but if you know Bernie, he had a slight smile on his face. That is Bernie. Sort of mischievous in a way, I guess. He said that, you know, Maizumi, and Bernie was the first Dharma successor to Maizumi Roshi, a student once asked him in a public meeting, "Maizumi Roshi, please tell us, what is Zen? What is Zen?" And Maizumi said, simply, "Zen is life." So life, you know, is that swirling slop, the good, the bad, the messy, the beautiful, the whole mishigas, the whole whatever, there's the word I'm forgetting. But, you know, Bernie was basically saying, if you're going to sit to think that you can get away from life, that you're doing the wrong practice, because the practice is life itself. Now, it's true that we can greet these experiences differently, and we can work with these emotions differently. But to think that we can eliminate them is folly. Thank you.